This is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks on KQB with expert advice from CPA, attorney, and retirement and estate planning expert Jim Lang, the best-selling author of Retire Secure and The Roth Revolution, Pay Taxes Once and Never Again. Now on the air and online worldwide at paytaxeslater.com, get ready to talk smart money.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. I'm David Baer here in the KQV studio with Jim Lang, CPA, attorney, and author of Retire Secure, The Roth Revolution, Pay Taxes Once and Never Again, and his new book, Retire Secure for Same-Sex Couples. Numerous mutual fund companies will help investors manage their money, but there are big differences in the strategies they use and how well they use them. Most fund firms follow an active method, trying to pick stock portfolios that will beat the market returns. Others practice an index approach, buying and holding portfolios that mirror the market over the long term. One index firm, Dimensional Fund Advisors, stands out. For over 30 years, DFA has been translating compelling academic research into practical investment strategies that have consistently produced superior returns for its clients. DFA's active advisory board includes some of the world's leading financial economists, including two Nobel Prize winners. To offer some perspectives on Dimensional Fund Advisors, we're pleased to welcome back investment expert and author Paul Merriman to the show. Since retiring as an investment advisor, Paul has been passionately committed to educating and empowering individuals to invest wisely and to get the most from their retirement dollars. With no other agenda and representing no companies, he donates all proceeds from his work to the Merriman Financial Education Fund, which supports his educational mission. Paul's written numerous books on personal investing, including the classic Financial Fitness Forever, and most recently a series of free ebooks on investing. Money Magazine cited his podcast, Sound Investing for Excellence, and he's also a retire mentor and regular columnist for the Wall Street Journal's MarketWatch blog. It's always interesting when Paul and Jim get together. And listeners, since today's show is live, you can join the conversation with questions and comments. The phone number at KQV is 412-333-9385. That's 412-333-9385. And with that, I'll say hello, Jim, and welcome, Paul.
Welcome, Paul.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks for the nice introduction, David.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Jim, it's been a long time.
It has been a while. I want to tell the listeners, I just got an email from you, and it perfectly typifies, I think, the way you think about things. You said, thanks for having me on. Let's change some lives. I mean that just really just tells what you're all about.
That's
our
job.
You could be sitting on a beach smoking cigars and doing anything you want, but instead you're writing articles. I'm going to talk about your amazing website, but you just provide so much great information for so many people.
You know, Jim, the problem is I never had a hobby. I mean, this is what I live and breathe, and when I retired, I promised my wife I would never work for money again. She thought I said I would never work again, but I'm having a ball, and it is great to be with you and your listeners.
Well, you have changed so many lives, both while you were officially working and now. Certainly, you have changed mine and the lives of many of my clients. Because if you recall, I don't know how many years ago this was, when I was actually on your radio show, you were talking to me after the show, and you said, Jim, for the good of your clients, you have to get them in low-cost index funds, and the best set of funds on the planet is Dimensional Fund Advisors. And it took me a while to get it together to do that, but when I did, my business exploded. My clients' results were just really wonderful, and the satisfaction level is high, so I owe you a huge gratitude of debt.
Well, I tell you, the good that's happening to you for me, so that's good news. I'm proud of you, and I'm happy for you, Jim.
All right, so I mean, I kind of think of you as kind of like the professor emeritus of financial fitness, because you've always been a teacher. You know, even when you were active And it seems like you had a little bit of a similar marketing style, that you just put out great information, and if people were interested, they maybe gravitated to you. But why the emphasis on education for the investing public?
Well, I used it when I was building my business. I don't think it's very devious to have this as a strategy, and that was that I was going to teach people how to do everything on their own, so they wouldn't need an investment advisor if they were the type that liked to do things on their own. But if they were going to do it on their own, they sure better do it right. So I would teach them how to do it. And the good news is that a lot of people simply don't want to do it. And there I was, ready to do it for them as a firm. And I think you've always built your business, I think, on education. But when I quit working, and education was always part of my business, but now it's full-time. I don't get any paycheck. I don't have to worry about compliance. I know you have this challenge in life, and I used to live with it. There's somebody who was always telling me, well, Paul, you can say that, but you can't say that, and show me the proof for what you just said. I want to see it on paper. But today, I can simply tell people what I know from all the experience and studying that I've done. No compliance, nobody in the back office, just the best education that I know. That's it.
Well, I think that's wonderful, and it puts you in a great position. So let me ask you this. One of the things that I always remember about your classes, and I've listened to your DVDs, and there's actually a whole bunch of people in Pittsburgh who know you and know of you and have followed you and actually have, were clients at one time, or maybe still are for the successor term. You always emphasize academic research. You know, you always say, Don't listen to Wall Street, don't listen to Main Street, listen to academia, peer-reviewed research. Why is that?
Well, I call it University Street as opposed to Main Street and Wall Street, and that is because the biggest decision each one of us make in terms of being an investor is the source of the information. And in fact, one of the biggest risks that investors take, and they don't even know this, I don't think, they certainly don't know it when they get started, is that basic source of information. Why are you doing what you're doing? And the only place that I know where not only is it peer-reviewed, but the information is in fact in your best interest as opposed to Wall Street. Wall Street has no choice but to make it first in their best interest, because if they don't make money, they don't survive. And they have shareholders they have to answer to, and a board of directors they have to answer to. And in that process, a lot of dastardly things happen. And with the academic community, I feel it is the purest form of good news that I know. And Jim, if you look at what's cooking today, what really is making people money, giving people peace of mind, almost every one of those products came out of the academic community, obviously including indexing. And target date funds are just a step away from what the academic community has worked on. So I think these are the people who have our best interest at heart. And unfortunately, most of us, most investors, are behind where they should be, and if they're going to catch up, they need to make sure what they do next is the right thing, not just something that's part of a short-term sales pitch, keeping people happy, trying to make a commission.
Well, I think that it's wonderful what the resources that you have, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to go with the idea of your comment to me. Let's change some lives. So one of the things that I thought was just so wonderful on your website is, and you had it in your book, Financial Fitness, and which Financial Fitness Forever, which, by the way, I think is a great book. And even though it's maybe 2 years old, I think it's still a great read. And one of the things that it has at the end is it has a series of appendices, and it has actual recommendations on I think then it was the top 50 funds. So if you're with one of the bigger companies like Walgreens,
401k plans, yeah,
right. All right. Well, you actually have 100 of them on your website. So
just went up, Jim.
Well, I was blown away when I saw that, because what you can do. So listeners, if you are with one of the bigger companies, and then I'll tell you for the people who are not. But let's start with one of the bigger companies. And you're saying, gee, what's the best asset allocation? What if I'm moderate? What if I'm conservative? What if I'm aggressive? And I don't want all the theory and all the gibberish and everything else. I just want the answers. What should I do? Paul has, by the way, as much theory as you can stand in all his articles and blogs and everything else. But it has exactly what you should do. And this is just such a great resource.
Jim, because Bayer is on there, FedEx is on there, GlaxoSmithKline, they're on there. So I know there are some firms that are heavy-duty employers there in the Pittsburgh area. I really want people to understand why I recommend what I do. And so when you go to that 401k site, there are some articles I would really like you to read so that you know why I recommend large, small, value, growth, U.S., international, et cetera. And so it's not just listening to somebody because you think they had a good story to tell on the radio today, but because you understand all this academic research. By the way, I don't get you bogged down in heavy-duty formulas and that type of thing, but it is based on what the academic community has taught me and you, Jim. And so I'm just trying to make these. Some of these plans have 200, 300, 400. One of them has over 600 choices. What is a person supposed to do if they don't really understand investing? And, of course, you and I know what a lot of people do. They buy the target date funds. They're not bad. They're not bad, but you can probably do another percent to 2% better by putting together just a few more funds and taking advantage of some asset classes that most investors don't know much about.
Well, I'm going to be very specific for the listener. So here's what you do. And by the way, the next part will apply to everybody, but this is the people that work for the larger companies. Go to www.paulmerriman.com, that's MERRIMAN.com, and go to, there's a menu across the top, and there's a section called articles, and that's what Paul really wants you to read, and I agree. But then after understanding some of the concepts, then you could just go to the 401k plans, which is another subset of the website, and then find the company that you're working for, and then there's actual recommendations, and it even differentiates if you're a conservative, moderate, or aggressive investor. So that's great. The other thing that is on this website that I think is wonderful is if you click on the section that says recommendations, and then it has mutual funds. And then you have recommendations if somebody is a Fidelity investor, if somebody is a Vanguard investor. I think the other one's T. Rowe Price. It's just really a great resource for a lot of people.
Can I just add one thing there, Jim? Because
please do.
It blows my mind that today, through ETFs, and I've got commission-free Vanguard, Schwab, and Fidelity ETF portfolios with, in the case of Schwab, less than $1,000. In the case of Vanguard, I think it's $3,000. In the case of Fidelity, maybe it's $2,000. But with a relatively small amount of money, you can put together the portfolio that would have taken, in some cases, $100,000 or $200,000 to replicate in the old days. But today, young investors have so many resources they did not have before.
Well, and I know that you are a champion for young investors. And to me, one of the important disciplines for a young investor is to get involved, find out about, let's say, some of the index funds and some of their investment opportunities. And as you said, they, particularly with the help of your website, can put together a terrific portfolio that they could not have done 10 years ago.
Yeah, and you know, you and I know, Jim, that the big challenge with these young investors is they've got it in their mind that what they need to do is to figure out how to hit a home run, get one of those 10-baggers real soon. And this is the toughest challenge with young investors, is to getting them to understand that the odds, the probabilities of being able to hit those 10-baggers, in fact, those 10-baggers lead to a lot of strikeouts, unfortunately, but that there is a really great way to invest for the long term that will give a super return, at least based on history, that doesn't require them to act like a kind of a poor person who doesn't have much money. You get to act like a multimillionaire from day one, and I think that's a very big deal for first-time investors.
Well, why don't we take our first break at this point?
This is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring expert advice from CPA, attorney, and retirement and estate planning expert Jim Lang. More coming up right here on KQB.
You're listening to a pre-recorded encore presentation of the Lang Money Hour with CPA and attorney James Lang. Please do not call. If you should have any questions or like more information regarding the topics discussed, please call Lang Financial Group at 412-521-2732 or go online to retiresecure.com.
KQV listeners, would you like to get retirement planning insights from Jim Lang in person and learn how to improve your financial future using cutting-edge IRA strategies, flexible estate planning, and low-cost index investing? The Lang Financial Group is hosting a free estate planning workshop on Saturday, September 27th at the Monroeville Courtyard Marriott. Jim Lang's topic for the morning session from 9:30 to 11:30 is titled Enhanced Social Security Planning, Getting the Most Out of Your Social Security Benefits. The decisions you make regarding how and when to take Social Security will have long-term consequences, and the number of techniques available for increasing your benefits will astound you. The two-hour afternoon session, Cut Taxes on Your IRA Withdrawals, More Money for You and Your Heirs, starts at 1. Jim will cover tax-savvy ways to spend different classes of assets after retirement, the impact of the changing laws on Roth 401k and Roth 403b conversions, and how to plan for your IRA and Roth IRA after your death. Following the afternoon session at 3:15, Jim will conduct a 30-minute review of the differences between active and index investing, with recent research showing 86% of active asset managers underperforming the market, you're likely better off with an optimized portfolio of index funds. Attendees can take one, two, or all three sessions. They'll also get a free copy of Jim's best-selling book, Retire Secure, as well as the option of a no-cost follow-up meeting. Spouses are encouraged to attend. Light refreshments will be served. There's no charge for the September 27th workshop at the Monroeville Courtyard Marriott, but space is limited and often fills to capacity. To reserve your place, call the Lang Financial Group at 412-521-2732. That's 521-2732. For more information, visit paytaxeslater.com. That's paytaxeslater.com.
The Lang Money Hour continues on KQB AM 1410. For all your financial needs, turn to the Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill. For more information, visit online at paytaxeslater.com. Let's talk more smart money.
And welcome back to the Lang Money Hour with Paul Merriman and Jim Lang.
Paul, I have a few specific questions for you, because I know, how long have you been in this game? Is it 35 years?
Well, really, I've... Since the mid-60s, I've been in some end of the financial community. I'm a little embarrassed, but I was a stockbroker for almost 3 years back in the 60s before I went straight, Jim.
Before you saw the light and you converted to index funds.
All.
All right. Well, so over your long career, you've certainly seen a lot of mutual funds come and go. You've seen index funds, and you've seen what many people regard as kind of the gold standard, which is Vanguard. And certainly, I imagine, like me, you have the highest regards for John Bogle and what Vanguard has done. But yeah, there's also competing index funds, maybe not technically index funds. One is dimensional fund advisors. And in your book, Financial Fitness Forever, you have a pretty in-depth head-to-head comparison of dimensional fund advisors to Vanguard. How would you compare the two sets of funds, realizing that they're different things? But I thought that, you know, with the great information that you've provided, that you could, let's say, further educate our listeners.
Well, I'm happy to, Jim. And what I do is every month I update the last 15 years, because the longer the period of time that we can compare, the more meaningful it is. And it's easy to do that with Morningstar. In fact, I can do that virtually every day if I want to. But there's no secret here. There's no black box. It isn't that DFA has something that that Vanguard couldn't have, but they don't. And I think there's a good reason for it, because DFA works with clients who are much more dependable, much less nervous. They're not as anxious. They don't want to jump ship all the time. Even John Bogle complains about how the shareholders at Vanguard are chasing performance. Well, that doesn't happen at DFA, because every client comes through, or I should say almost every client, comes through an investment advisor like yourself, Jim. And as you know, in that process, you find out a lot about the investor, and then you can properly match the right amount of equity with the right amount of fixed income and all the things that help to make long-term investing successful. So they have a different kind of investor than Vanguard. Vanguard is the premier supplier of investments to retail do-it-yourself investors. I really think they're great for the do-it-yourselfer. But at DFA, they've built the funds in a different way. They haven't built them to be exact copies of asset classes, like the small cap would not look like the Russell 2000. What you find at DFA is, whether we're talking about big companies or small companies, they're smaller. So if you looked at a large cap value fund at DFA versus a large cap value fund at Vanguard, you would see that the average size company is somewhat smaller at DFA. Now, that doesn't sound like a big deal, but it turns out that it is. So if we look at the returns of the last 15 years of the DFA large cap value fund, it is over 2% more, about 2.5% more per year than the Vanguard large cap value. And that's one, because of the size of the company inside of the fund and how deeply discounted the companies are. And as the academics discovered, the more deeply discounted the companies are as a group, the better the long-term rate of return. And this works at the large size and the small size. For example, if we look at a small cap value fund at DFA over the last 15 years, a 12% compound rate of return, the small cap value fund at Vanguard, 10.5%. And in some cases, Vanguard doesn't even have a particular asset class. I know this may sound outrageous to your listeners, but in the emerging markets, there are large companies, there are growth companies, there are small companies, and there are value companies. And if you look at the emerging markets fund at Vanguard, that one has grown at 9.6% a year. It's a large cap emerging markets fund. Well, DFA has one, and it did slightly better at 9.8, but its small cap a value fund, emerging markets, compounded at 12.2. Its value emerging markets compounded at 11.6. And so these returns are following what I learned about DFA in about 1993, when the professor said, look for better small cap performance, look for better value performance, and they put their portfolios together so they have much less turnover, fewer trades, because they don't run them as pure index funds. One of the problems with index funds is that as the committees change the companies, take some companies off, add other companies to the index, there's what's called a reconstitution cost to sell and to buy. But DFA runs it to try to eliminate that reconstitution cost. It goes on and on and on. But what it's about, better asset class selection, lower taxes, less turnover. Oh, and by the way, Jim, the diversification at DFA is about twice the diversification at Vanguard. And if we could get the same return and have twice the diversification without the extra return, it would still be a good deal, because more diversification implies less risk.
Well, I know that you are freaking out some Vanguard fans that they just can't believe that here is a set of index funds, or let's say a slight variation of index funds, that can be both safer and outperform even after paying a fee. But there's actually good reasons for it, and yeah. it's not like DFA has a bunch of stock pickers and they're picking better stocks. Nope. It's they are defining the type of companies that they want their investors to be in differently, and at least historically, and of course we're required to say past performance is no guarantee of future results, but they have outperformed Vanguard, something that the... You know, I have some dyed-in-the-wool Vanguard friends and clients, and they just can't believe that you could pay an advisor a fee, get all the benefits that an advisor provides, that even by the way, Jack Bogle, it just shocked me. He was on the show, and at the end of the show, I sometimes have a kind of like a throw out, and I just said, you know, so is there anything that we didn't talk about that you think might be good information for our listeners? And then I, with all due respect to John Bogle, I still kind of consider him like one of the cheapest guys in America, because Vanguard's yes. fees are so low. And then he said all these great things about having an advisor.
Oh, I wish I got to get a copy of that show.
All right.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it really was. But anyway, so you get, let's say in our case, where we do the Roth conversion analysis, we do the Social Security yeah. analysis, the estate planning, the tax loss harvesting, the whatever needs to be done in the big picture. And by the way, safe withdrawal rates, and we did a great show before emphasizing safe withdrawal rates, that people can get all that and these great set of index funds through dimensional funds that have outperformed Vanguard all for 1% or less is actually one of the reasons why our business is doing so well.
Well, you know something, I'm a great believer in Vanguard, and I think that as far as access to indexing, they're still great. I will say this, that my approach to using Vanguard funds has far outproduced the average Vanguard investor, because for 15 years I've been recommending big cap, small cap, value, growth, and U.S. international and all this that has performed so well. But you know, when I just gave those numbers a few minutes ago about 10% and 12% and et cetera, we got to remember that during that same period of time, the S&P 500 compounded at less than 5. Less than 5. And the total market index the same. And so the first challenge I want to make to those Vanguard people before they make the move to DFA is get the best you can out of Vanguard to start with. And I'm doing my best to show you how to do that. But people have got to, who are looking at having an advisor or not having an advisor, it goes way beyond returns. I have an advisor. I have a full-time, I mean, just like everybody else, I've got somebody who takes care of my account. My wife's got an MBA, but she's not a professional investor. And I want somebody not just to take care of my money, but her money, our money, and to be there to help me with tax questions. I call up, I want a check. I don't want to have to figure out which account it should come out of. The advisor takes care of that for me. So I think that too many people, when they think about hiring an advisor, all they're thinking about is about the investment aspect of it. And actually, that's a small part of the whole process. You know that because you know that once you get past that investment decision with your clients, you've got tons of work to do in the future.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of clients, unfortunately, sometimes think of it as a horse race. So they'll say, you know, they'll either pit two advisors against each other, or they manage some and then they have the advisor, or they'll compare, let's say, a past record, and it's they think of it purely as a matter of return. And what tends to happen with those investors is they're chasing returns, so they tend to buy things that just recently did well, which inevitably then do badly, so they're buying high. Then after it does badly, they get rid of it, so they're selling low. Yep. And they really hurt themselves. But by the way, for the do-it-yourselfers, so I want to be fair to these Vanguard guys. Paul is right. If I was a do-it-yourself Vanguard investor, rather than listening to Vanguard in asset allocation within Vanguard, what I would do is I would go to www.paulmerriman.com, go to recommendations, go to mutual funds, then click on Vanguard, and then take a look at what he has. And then, of course, Paul, being very proper, says, don't just listen to my results, listening to my reasoning, and read the article section on his website. Is that fair?
I hope they do that, because the asset allocation advice at Vanguard, I think, is very poor. Now, let me tell you why I think that happens, because I'm not saying that these people at Vanguard don't know all the stuff I do. They do know that. But I think they take what I call the path of least resistance. It's the nature of most organizations in our industry. They like to put people in the total market U.S. and then the total market international and then a total bond and call that done. The problem is there's too much evidence that says that by adding some other asset classes that you can increase the return without increasing the risk. Now, this sounds like magic, but it isn't. It's simply because different asset classes go up and down at different times. I mean, not always at the opposite time, but often at the opposite time. And that modifies the volatility of the entire portfolio. And the way they give advice at Vanguard, you aren't getting the advantage of all of that wonderful research that has been around for decades.
John
Vogel did his own research, and he was right back in 1951. But in a sense, that was the end of his research.
Well, let's be even more specific. You talk about emerging markets and all the variations of emerging markets, like emerging markets large and small and value and growth. And you talk about small cap. There is a difference in portfolio construction. That is, the DFA model for small cap, for example, would be smaller. Value would have lower price earnings ratios. What are some of the differences, and how does that add to a portfolio, whether you're a DFA going through an advisor or a Vanguard person?
Well, I mean, the differences, as I've mentioned before, you're facing turnover differences because of the way they construct the portfolio. You're facing diversification differences. And I think this is very smart. When you get into small cap and small cap value and emerging markets and other things than just the S&P 500, you're in arenas that the individual companies have more risk than the individual companies in the S&P 500. So instead of having 500 companies, you might have 5,000 companies in a DFA fund that represents an asset class that's more risky. And those asset classes, small cap and value, because they're not as liquid as AT&T or Microsoft or something, where you can sell a million shares in no time, you then don't want to be put in a position to have to be liquidating and bailing out all at one time. And so, as I said before, DFA has a very structured approach, but they also have clients, investors, who in a sense are structured in their attitude about investing. What hurts investors, all investors, are their emotional involvement in the process. And Vanguard can't control their emotions, but DFA can, because they've got an advisor. And yes, you get an advisor at Vanguard, but what are the chances that advisor is really going to get to know you and is going to be there still 5 years or 10 years from now taking care of you? That just isn't likely.
And I want to point out one more thing about, for example, small cap and emerging markets. Most of the portfolios that I see are underweighted in those areas, even though historically those areas have outperformed the larger companies. And I think it's partly because people are less familiar and they don't want to invest in things that they don't, it's companies that they've never heard of, as opposed to AT&T and Verizon. But you can really add return and reduce volatility by adding these different asset classes.
Well, Jim, I mean, you've just opened up a barn door here that is a big deal. If you look at any portfolio of individual stocks, they're going to have lousy asset class diversification. They may have 100 stocks, but they're probably all large-cap growth-oriented companies or dividend-oriented companies, because that's what they know. And so the whole thing here is to get your portfolio into things that people don't know all about, because those are the things, as a group, small cap, for instance, and value, out of favor companies, those are the companies that don't tend to be in the front of people's minds. The studies have been done. The companies that are in the S&P 500 are expected to get lower rates of return than small company or value companies, because they're less risky. It isn't, there's no magic here. You get a lower return on a CD than you do on the S&P 500 because it's less risky. So the magic, or the good news for investors, is that by putting these really great companies together with the smaller, maybe value-oriented and international and emerging markets and REITs, that by putting them all together, you end up with a portfolio that's no more risky than the S&P 500. And you get about 1.5% to 2% better return per year. And a half a percent, I don't care if you're retired or you're building towards retirement. I'm about to do an article on this. A half a percent is a life changer. It really is a life changer in terms of what it does to your money over the long term.
Well, I agree with you. And unfortunately, sometimes you have to wrestle with people who say, oh, gee, the fee is a half a percent or 80 basis points or maybe at the highest level at 1%, and I can't afford that. But actually, when you factor in the better returns, the better diversification, and then we haven't even got into the new thing that everybody's talking about is alpha or gamma, which is a lot of the value that is not just the pure horse race, but things like appropriate asset allocation, which assets you spend first, Roth IRA conversion, Social Security, yep, et cetera.
But people, Jim, people are doing so many dumb things to themselves because the industry is telling them it's the right thing to do. The big deal these days, alternative investments. That's where the money is. Now, I don't mean that's where the money is for investors. I promise you, that's not where the money is for investors. That's where the money is for Wall Street. But if you see the returns of alternative investments, they are really very subpar. And when were they able to sell these alternative investments and take and make 10 to 15% commission just like that overnight for doing almost nothing? Well, they did it right after the S&P 500 and other equity positions lost money. And so there's the salesman right there to take care of you. Oh, you want to make some money. Well, let me put you into something that did well during the last few years. Well, I mean, that's chasing performances. That's what's gotten people and brokers and commission salespeople in trouble forever, is chasing performance. A good advisor, and I've never met a bad DFA advisor in terms of how they treat the client. I'm sure there's one out there. But a good advisor keeps you out of the business of chasing performance. And that will save you a fortune over a lifetime. And then they're afraid to spend a 0.5% or 1% a year to get you to do the right things.
Well, this is a good time to take that second break.
Let's do it.
This is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring expert advice from CPA, attorney, and retirement and estate planning expert Jim Lang. More coming up right here on KQV.
KQV listeners, would you like to get retirement planning insights from Jim Lang in person and learn how to improve your financial future using cutting-edge IRA strategies, flexible estate planning, and low-cost index investing? The Lang Financial Group is hosting a free estate planning workshop on Saturday, September 27th at the Monroeville Courtyard Marriott. Jim Lang's topic for the morning session from 9:30 to 11:30 is titled Enhanced Social Security Planning, Getting the Most Out of Your Social Security Benefits. The decisions you make regarding how and when to take Social Security will have long-term consequences, and the number of techniques available for increasing your benefits will astound you. The two-hour afternoon session, Cut Taxes on Your IRA Withdrawals, More Money for You and Your Heirs, starts at 1. Jim will cover tax-savvy ways to spend different classes of assets after retirement, the impact of the changing laws on Roth 401k and Roth 403b conversions, and how to plan for your IRA and Roth IRA after your death. Following the afternoon session at 3:15, Jim will conduct a 30-minute review of the differences between active and index investing, with recent research showing 86% of active asset managers underperforming the market, you're likely better off with an optimized portfolio of index funds. Attendees can take one, two, or all three sessions. They'll also get a free copy of Jim's best-selling book, Retire Secure, as well as the option of a no-cost follow-up meeting. Spouses are encouraged to attend. Light refreshments will be served. There's no charge for the September 27th workshop at the Monroeville Courtyard Marriott, but space is limited and often fills to capacity. To reserve your place, call the Lang Financial Group at 412-521-2732. That's 521-2732. For more information, visit paytaxeslater.com. That's paytaxeslater.com.
You're listening to a pre-recorded encore presentation of the Lang Money Hour with CPA and attorney James Lang. Please do not call. If you should have any questions or like more information regarding the topics discussed, please call Lang Financial Group at 412-521-2732 or go online to retiresecure.com.
The Lang Money Hour continues on KQB AM 1410. For all your financial needs, turn to the Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill. For more information, visit online at paytaxeslater.com. Let's talk more smart money.
And welcome back to the Lang Money Hour with Paul Merriman and Jim Lang.
Paul, you have stressed the importance of diversification, and you've talked about some of the different classes that a lot of people don't invest in, such as emerging markets and small value, etc. But a lot of people think, when they think about diversification, they think about equities and stock, that is, owning a company as opposed to lending either a company or a government money. Can you talk a little bit about diversification within fixed income classes and bonds?
Sure. And I think this is a very important a topic, because what you do with your fixed income can mean a huge difference in the kind of return you're going to get. And it's also a question of why you even have bonds in your portfolio in the first place. Now, I'm 70, almost 71, and I've got half of my buy and hold portfolio, DFA, in bonds. Now, I could take more risk than that, but I choose to have 50% in there because I've looked at my fine-tuning table that you all can look at. It's one of the best pieces I've ever done, but it's called Fine-Tuning Your Asset Allocation, and it helps people determine how much of their portfolio should be in bonds and how much should be in stocks. But I've got bonds in my portfolio to stabilize the portfolio when the equity portion is going down. And historically, if you look at what happens during very severe market declines, the best place to be is to be in government bonds or government bond funds. And, of course, Jim and I would agree, and I hope all of you would agree, very low-cost government bond funds. And you should stay short to intermediate. Now, long-term bonds are much more volatile than short to intermediate-term bonds. And so for that additional risk, the academics have found that rather than going to long-term bonds, stay short to intermediate, and if you want to take more risk, take the risk in the equity part, not the bond part. So that's for people who want to stabilize a portfolio against the bad times. But other investors want fixed income for monthly income. They want the interest. That's their main goal. And for that, I have on paulmerriman.com a Vanguard portfolio that's a combination of everything from intermediate-term investment grade, short-term investment grade, Ginny Mae fund, and a high-yield bond fund. Now, that is not built to stabilize the portfolio so much as it is to create some income. So this is the part of the process, is figuring out who you are and then figuring out what you should do after you know who you are. And by the way, Jim, I don't know about how you work with your clients, but I have the belief that virtually every investor should sit, if they don't want to hire somebody to manage their money, God bless. But if they want to have somebody who really understands the ropes take a look at their situation, that as a minimum, go spend an hour or two, pay them by the hour to have them look at your portfolio, because I think everybody can use some fine-tuning. And fine-tuning that's done properly doesn't just help you for the next year. It probably helps you for the rest of your life.
Well, Paul, I think that's a great point. And for whatever it's worth, the way we do it in our office, if I meet a prospect, and by the way, I have to like them and they have to like me, and if it looks like we might be a fit, one of the ways we start is we take their existing portfolio and then I run it through Morningstar, and then I do an asset allocation pie chart for them, and I show them where they are and whether they use my services or not.
Good.
They often will find out that they are significantly, typically overweighted in large value and typically underweighted in large growth and typically underweighted in smaller and value. And whether they go with me or not and they get this information, they can be a much better investor either way.
I believe that, and if you're not charging for that, that's a home run for anybody who's in their right mind, because that kind of information is so valuable into the decision-making process. By the way, Jim, you said something earlier about DFA beating Vanguard and that it's unlikely that Vanguard, well, I don't know if you said this, but I kind of read between the lines that DFA is really likely to do better than Vanguard. I want to be fair to Vanguard for a second, because I can tell your listeners under what conditions Vanguard will beat DFA. If large beats small and if growth beats value for the next 20 years, you're probably better off in Vanguard than you are DFA. Fair enough?
Well, that's like saying if it rains backwards and gravity doesn't reoccur.
you know, I just did a study. I just did a study, and a lot of people in 2000 came to the conclusion that the small cap and the value premiums, that those were dead, that there was no value premium, there was no small cap premium. Because there had been a great premium from 1975 through 1989. But during that 10-year period, the premiums went to growth and to larger companies. And so people said, well, it's dead. Everybody's figured it out, so it'll never work again. And then for the next 15 years, the small and the value just overwhelmed large cap and growth. So these are things that we know can happen, but we have to build a portfolio, and your portfolio doesn't throw growth out. You don't throw large out. You just have some value and some small in there in case you're right. But to put everybody in small and value would be too risky, right?
Well, I agree completely. And going back to academic research, which I know you're a big believer in, our friend Eugene Fama, who is a board member of Dimensional Fund Advisors,
yes,
was just recently awarded the Nobel Prize for Financial Economics with his efficient market theory. Can you comment on what that meant to you personally and what you think that means to people? And I'll give you about 3 minutes. And
okay, well, let me first of all, that Nobel Prize was a long time because his work was years ago. That's the way it works. I'll tell you what it meant to DFA advisors, me, because I've got most of my money with DFA. What it means to me is that we've got people who are committed to figuring out how to do it better for their investors. And I don't know that you ever talk about this on your program, but Dr. Fama and Dr. French, and maybe a couple of other academics, for the last 10 years have been studying the impact of profitability in conjunction with value and small cap, et cetera. And they have recently installed, after 10 years of careful research, they have made changes, small changes, that will probably add 20 basis points to 50 basis points a year additional returns in the equity part of the portfolio. 50 basis points is 0.5% to people who aren't into the points world. But that's a big deal. And the idea that there are people who are there working every workday trying to figure out ways to get more, not based on what's hot in the market and what might happen, but what has happened and what we can do to better manage the risk that our clients and the DFA people are taking. It is amazing to know that you've got those kind of people on your payroll. And that's what I want. That's what I wanted for my clients when I was in the business. And that's what your clients have, Jim. And that's what all of us want. We want competent people who are ethical. We want them selling competent, ethical products. We want them working for competent firms. And that's what I think DFA and their advisors represent. I know I talk too loud. I talk too fast. I sound like Professor Harold Hill from The Music Man. But that's what I believe, and I think it's proven, and it has been proven, in the results.
Well, you have been a passionate advisor and spokesman for Good Financial Planning. Again, a wonderful resource for our listeners is www.paulmerriman.com. Again, www.paulmerriman.com.
Well, and thanks again to Paul. Thanks also to Alex Chaklos, our KQV in studio producer, and Lang program coordinator Amanda Cassidy Swinesburg. As always, you can hear an encore broadcast of the show at 9:05 this Sunday morning here on KQV, and you can always access the audio archive of past shows, including written transcripts, at the Lang Financial Webs Group website, www.paytaxeslater.com. Finally, please plan to join us on Wednesday, September 17th at 7:05, when we'll welcome investment advisor P.J. DeNuzzo back for the next new edition of the Lang Money Hour.
Thanks for listening to the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. Check out the show archives and listen on demand anytime at paytaxeslater.com. KQV listeners can receive free tickets to Jim Lang's Pittsburgh area workshops and more. Call the Lang Financial Group at 412-521-2732 and reserve your seats and meet Jim Lang in person, or visit paytaxeslater.com. That's paytaxeslater.com.